All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, as we have another opportunity to study your word or study to how to study your word, Lord, we ask that you would sharpen our minds, Lord, that we'd be able to comprehend and benefit from what we learned today. But Lord, that the ultimate goal is that it would be for us to get into your word and your word to get into us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this morning, we're week five, one more week, and we'll be done. We'll be looking at Bible dictionaries. We'll see how there was a little bit of overlap already. If you were here for week two, we looked at expository dictionaries, which technically is a subcategory of Bible dictionaries, but it's such an important one, in my opinion, that we had a class all by itself for it. So Bible dictionaries kind of covers a bit of a range of things at times, but it's also kind of a specific category by itself. So we'll explore what that means here in a moment. So answering the question, what is a Bible dictionary? It's fairly straightforward. A Bible dictionary is a reference book that contains brief scholarly articles on the people, places, objects, and events mentioned in the Bible. So they're collections of scholarly articles that scholars who've been out there come up with their own definitions after doing a huge research project. They'll condense it, depending on the size of the dictionary, into a small or really, really small article on it. But we get the benefit of having them speak to those topics. So often if you have a question for a pastor or a scholar, you can consult a Bible dictionary and find somebody else's opinion on the same thing. It's not as much as a conversation, although sometimes it's a good, concise answer. There are other kinds of Bible dictionaries, or more focused Bible dictionaries, if you would, that explore either geography or history, culture, theology, and they can even dive into non-biblical topics, such as Hammurabi, who was a contemporary, the Moabite Stone, which is an archaeological discovery that confirms the accounts given in Scripture. So there are other more specific dictionaries. Again, a more specific dictionary, an example of that would be like the Expository Dictionary, where it kind of does word studies on different words in the Bible. But that's not going to talk about a Moabite stone. And a Moabite stone you might only find in an archaeological Bible dictionary that kind of focuses on that. Bible atlases are given to the geography of different places, and they may even give you some timeline, like this is who controlled this territory at this time and so on and so forth. So if you've got more, if you've got a specific question, sometimes looking into the specific resources will be more helpful. And then more general questions more generally can be answered by the just Bible dictionaries. All right, so why would you use a Bible dictionary? It's pretty straightforward. Two things, to learn and to explore. So to learn about the people, places, objects, and events mentioned in the Bible, and to explore the important historical, cultural, and theological topics, as well as the ones that are extra-biblical or that talk about things outside of what the Bible mentions directly. You can just thumb through a Bible dictionary if you want to explore like what was important to the compiler of the dictionary, or if you just want to know specifically more about a particular person. So like if you were studying like what we've been studying in class, John 3:16, you want to know more about who this Nicodemus guy is, a Bible dictionary is not a bad place to look, because they're going to help you understand who he is and maybe give you some extra background information on him. So what are some Bible dictionaries? We're going to look in two different categories. We got single volume, multi-volume, and specialized volumes. So single volume, as you can imagine, something like this is a single volume. It's not going to have as much information as something like this, just because it can't fit. So single volume will have less articles, and the articles it does have will be shorter. So if you're looking for a short, concise answer, this would be the kind of thing you're after. Multi-volumes, something like this, an encyclopedia, a Bible encyclopedia, it's going to have longer articles on each topic, and it's going to have more articles because it has more space. So those are going to be kind of benefits on both ends of that, depending on what you're looking for. And then the specialized volumes, again, like a Bible Atlas or a theological dictionary or an expository dictionary, they're going to have their emphasis and then be able to do a better job at diving into those things. So some examples of shorter single volume. Smith's Bible Dictionary was first published in 1871. So 1871, I think I've got Smith's. Here it is. Okay. So this has obviously not been printed in 1871. It was printed after that. But the content in it is still from 1871. The reason why I mention this is because I got this because it was a really inexpensive Bible dictionary. I think I got it for less than $10 online. You can actually find a Smith's Bible Dictionary app if you've got a smart device, download it too. Normally it's free. They have this dictionary on Blue Letter Bible, and if there any other online sources normally have it. The reason why they have it is because it was printed in 1871 and it's now in the public domain, which means it's free to view online, and any publisher can publish it if they want, if they think they can sell it. And obviously that has been the case. Hendrix Publishing published this because they thought I would buy it, and they were not wrong. Yes.
Back in 1871, they didn't have our resources. Where did he get his data?
He did a lot of this work himself. And so inside of a Bible dictionary, you're going to find two kinds of information as far as that's relevant to the publication date. There's going to be biblical information as far as cross-references, who Nicodemus is, compared to if there's any other Nicodemuses, or like the different kinds of Johns in the Bible. There's John the Baptist, who's different than the Apostle John. So untangling who they are, the different Herods of the Bible, because there's more than one King Herod, and they all went by King Herod, but there's different ones. He'll untangle that. None of that's going to change because it's Bible references don't change, but the extra biblical information, so like the archaeological stuff, the historical stuff that's going to be contemporary to it, obviously our knowledge on that has increased. So the older the volume, the less resources they had to put together. And it's not that it's going to be inaccurate. It's just going to not be as accurate as something published later because they've had the opportunity to discover more, dig down deeper, and then, also the language they use may not be as contemporary as ours. The subjects they address may not be the same subjects we would address. So he's not going to have anything about feminist theology in here because that wasn't a thing yet. Yeah, something after 1960.
Would it? Is that the very first Bible dictionary?
No, it's the most common one that we have. There are other Bible dictionaries, but not in English. So there have been previous other publications, but as far as in our English world and in publications that we would have today, this is going to be probably one of the more common ones you find because of how old it is and because it's free to reproduce in whatever publishing method you want. But keep in mind, it was originally published in 1871. So that's where Austin's pro tip is check out the publication date, not just of, because this is going to show a publication date of about 100 years after that. But the original publication date... It's 1871. So knowing where when it was originally published is going to be helpful when it comes to Bible dictionaries because of how they compile their information. But again, half of the information in there is still going to be super helpful because it's not time specific. Nothing they're going to discover in archaeology is going to make untangling the Herod the Great and Herod the Tetrarch and that mess. That's all going to be the same. That's not going to change. The cross references that he gives are still going to be helpful, and a lot of the other information is still going to be valid and accurate. So the newer the publication with a Bible dictionary, you're going to benefit from more contemporary articles. So their newer ones are going to have stuff on or might have stuff on feminist theology, like what is that? It's going to address that because it's more of a contemporary issue than previous ones. So there's going to be that benefit. But like I said, it's still good. Their free ones are online. The free app I have on my phone, I use it with discernment. I know it was printed back in the day, but for the most part, I'm just trying to figure out a very basic question, which it's still going to answer. Easton's Bible Dictionary, same category. You find these on a lot of Bible resources, Bible programs that you can download for free, are going to have these two dictionaries for the same reason. Zondervan's Compact Bible Dictionary. We zoom forward about 100 years. That's this one right here. I kind of like it. It's super inexpensive. The articles are super short. It makes it easy to get a quick answer, a clear answer, an accurate answer. I came pre-qualified with reading glasses, so it might be small print if you get the small, compact one. But they've got larger ones with larger print. I think I paid maybe $3 for that one because I got it in a set of four of three other resources with it for $12. So if you shop around, you can find relatively good deals. And really, you only need one, but I like having more than one just because I ask lots of questions and they don't always answer. But somebody else might, so I try to collect them. Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary came out after that. Has pictures with maps, charts, timelines. If there's historical stuff that has a picture of what Caesar may have looked like, they'll have that in there. Holman's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. This is the compact dictionary I just showed you. So obviously the newer ones are going to be the more updated ones, but make sure it's not just a newer publication of something that was originally written in 18-something. Because Smith's Bible Dictionary is still being published today because people are still buying it because it's still a valuable resource. But just because it's got a new publisher publishing it with a new publishing date, pressing into that a little bit can be helpful because sometimes they're not super clear on that. Multi-volume, more articles, longer articles, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. This one you can also find for free online. It's got the longer articles by scholars published in 1929. There's been updated versions of it that aren't free online, but they are still available in book form. They're pretty expensive. Even that one was expensive back in the day, but that's going to be for free online on many Bible study websites. I believe also Blue Letter Bible has access to it. But there's that. The Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible. That's what I have right here. I got mine on sale from Christian Book Distributors. Every once in a while, they have it on sale for like $40, which for five volumes with colored pictures is a great deal. So if you like to shop around and you like to read long articles on many topics, that would be something worth considering. If not, you are always free to borrow it from my library as long as you leave it in there, because otherwise it'll be incomplete. But it's always there for, it's in my study room. I like it just because it's got a newer publication date, 1975. It's a bit more contemporary than the pre 1929 version, but still has a lot of the same kind of stuff in it. So specialized volumes, we already kind of talked about these. I have some examples here. Here are some more examples up there. I really, really like this one. If you're into theological words and what they mean and don't know what they mean, but you like to use them. Zondervan's Dictionary of Bible and Theological Words. So if you want to know what transubstantiation is or superlapsarianism is, these are all very technical Bible terms that summarize big concepts that sometimes if you're reading another book, you're like, what the huh? you can normally just Google it and find out, but these have very concise, clear answers to those kinds of questions. So I like it just because I like to expand my vocabulary, or sometimes I'm reading something out of this guy over here and I'm like, I don't know what that word means. And that's where something like this is super helpful. But again, it's a very specialized dictionary. Baker's Bible Atlas. This is super helpful. It's got colored pictures of what things look like now and different maps of different events. These can be organized in a variety of ways. So this one's organized... think alphabetically, there's another one I have that's organized by book of the Bible. So you just turn to the book of the Bible you're going to, and it'll give you the maps, charts, and things that are relevant to that. And even sometimes give you chapter and verses. This one's organized according to alphabetized. So if you want to know more about Jordan, you just turn to the J section and you read up on Jordan. See people crossing it and whatnot. Cultural background stuff. Cultural manners and customs by, well, I guess this is an older version of it. Anyway, they've got background information stuff where it's kind of more cultural, dives into the Old Testament history, what they meant by different things, New Testament phrases like girding up the loins of your mind, what that means, why that's a thing. A book like this will answer it. Again, the other dictionaries will as well, but this kind of specializes in that topic. So there are other ones that would fit in this category of Bible dictionaries that are more specialized. So if you have a specific area of interest, there are specialized volumes for that. So that's what those are. How to use it. This is on your second page. If you grab the notes, it's one step basically for either exploring or learning more. You select a relevant person, place, object, or event, or theological topic you want to know more about, contained in the passage you're studying, and then just look it up, read it, and then summarize what you found is helpful. I guess I could have added those two things as steps. So reading the whole article is a discipline I try to do, unless I'm in a hurry, which is like most of the time. Then I'm like snipering information like, nope, yes. I'll read the section that I'm looking for. But what's super helpful is not just reading it, but then summarizing it in your own words, kind of forces you to comprehend it a little bit more. It's just a practice of being a good student, really, as reading and then regurgitating, just putting it out in your own words. Even if at first you write exactly what they wrote, how would you explain it to somebody who's in fourth grade? Trying to explain it that way really helps you make sure that you understand it. And then I often try to find somebody else to tell. This might just be my own default as a teacher, though. I like to learn stuff so I can share stuff. not to share stuff, but then I'm just so excited about what I've learned that I need to tell other people. So that just might be my own default, but a way in which, but that experience of telling other people about it also helps cement it into my own brain. And then when they have questions, it helps me refine what I know. And then in the same way, when you're studying, whether it be a biblical topic and you want to impress your friend and you're like, do you know what superlapsarian means? They're like, what? Let me tell you. And so you can make it stick better so that way you don't have to look up the same thing over and over again. If you take the time to not just read the answer you're looking for, but write it out and then even speak it out, that can be helpful. So we're going to practice that in class today. We're going to practice that today with our John 3:16, and I think I've got enough dictionaries up here for each of us to just grab one. I didn't copy any pages out because I figured I'd have enough dictionaries for us to practice this on. John 3:16 records a small piece of a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. So select a Bible dictionary you think would provide the best information on Nicodemus, and then in your Bible dictionary, look up the name Nicodemus and read the article in its entirety. And in your own words, write out the information you found. And here's the key part to be most helpful. So you don't have to write out all the information that you found in it. That could be a bit longer. If you don't find anything helpful, maybe note that and write down what you were looking for that they didn't answer. But why don't we...
Can you use blue letter?
Yeah, you can use blue letter too. It's not as straightforward on the app form to find the dictionaries at times, but there's roundabout ways of doing it. So let me get this guy paused. There we go. Okay. Who wants to use Smith's 1870? There we go. I've got Zondervan's Pictorial Bible Dictionary. Ed? Let's see. It's not too bad. Here we go. You want to use Wycliffe? There we are. Nicodemus. Yep. Kings, the Westminsters. Compact, all right. right, you guys ready to share what you've learned? Or at least some tidbits of information? Let me get this guy going again. All right. Somebody want to share something they learned about Nicodemus that they found interesting or on topic?
Well, my Mike? Section here was very, very brief. I guess his name means conqueror of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And he was had a simple love of truth that shone despite the hesitation and fear of man. He was just after the truth.
Okay, that's an interesting article. Anybody finds anything different in theirs? Something of interest? Okay.
From being a rich,
right. Yep. So he became a Christian, and that cost him something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A key thing is trying to find the things that are most helpful. All of it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's where if you have a more specific question, then who is Nicodemus could be helpful. So you could have asked the question looking at it. He's called the teacher of Israel. What does that mean? So the compact Bible dictionary is it squishes all the good stuff into a single sentence and then moves on to the next sentence and does the same. I read the page and a half that it had in here and then the inch and a half article here, and it was basically all the same points here but exploded here. So, and then some parts that were left out. Ed, did you find anything you want to share? Okay. I'll share what I learned in this one. I kind of like the shorter one here. It included the three times Nicodemus is mentioned in the book of John, and I kind of like how they summarized that aspect of it. So he's here with the very first Nick at Night episode where Nicodemus is meeting Jesus at night for whatever reasons. And then the next time it mentions him, he's actually defending Jesus through questions. They brought him before to be tried, and he's like, specifically, what law has he broken, is the question he asked, which is a very appropriate question, but it's in defense of Jesus. And then the last time we see him in the book of John is he's spending lots of money for the burial spices on Jesus, 100 pounds of all of these super expensive stuff.
That's 75 pounds of aloe and
yeah.
Myrrh.
Yeah, that's expensive. It doesn't matter what time you're living in. That was not it. Right. Well, it's specifically for burial, too. And it's, a gift that kings normally would get just because it's of value by itself. The stocks and bonds of their day, if you would. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. That's all they had in this one. They kind of added some extra stuff in this one that I thought was interesting, identifying him possibly with the brother of Josephus, who was by the name of, it's unlikely, according to the article, but his name was Nicodemus ben Gurion, who was wealthy, was part of the Sanhedrin, and then halfway through his life lost all of his wealth and died in poverty. So there is some overlap, but the name Nicodemus at the time in the first century was super common. Even though it's only mentioned, given to one person in the New Testament, it was a very common name. It's kind of like our name Nick today. Just because you found another Nick, a contemporary, doesn't mean it's the same Nick. If you were looking back, a couple hundred years into this time period. So there's parallel, but it's unlikely that it's the same guy. But the name was common, so that was new for me. I didn't know that. Anyway, that's kind of helpful. I think having a specific question in mind more than just tell me information about them, that can be helpful. But if you've got more specific information, sometimes that you'll get more out of it in the dictionary. The same thing's going to be true next week when we look at commentaries. If you go to a commentary looking for a specific question, which would imply that you've studied the passage beforehand, or at least read through it asking questions, then you'll find it to be more beneficial than just sitting down and reading through if you've got less specific questions. If your questions are more general, then the benefit is going to be more general. So with specific questions, you can find better things you'll be frustrated because they don't answer those questions. That's my experience sometimes because I ask very specific questions. But yeah, so that's a Bible dictionary. Was that kind of helpful in the exercise? I like it, but I think that the two main benefits is going in with specific questions and then also keeping in mind the publication date of the of what you're using, because it's going to approach it in different ways. So with that, let's go ahead and close in prayer, and we'll actually finish a little early. That's a first. So we'll take that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today, Lord, for the opportunity to sit down and to study your word and use the tools that we've been provided in our lifetime in order to get to know your word better. Lord, we thank you for these Bible dictionaries that help us to understand what you've given to us even better. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.